Chapter 65. A dense, icy fog crept across the Otok as dusk settled over Victoria Strait. The narwhal was long lost from physical view, and Zack searched for her on the radar scope, finding the research ship as a narrow smudge on the top of the screen. Across the bridge, the icebreaker's captain paced back and forth, having grown bored with holding his ship stationary for the past few hours. But the captain saw no signs of boredom in Zack's face. On the contrary, there was an odd intensity about him. Like in the moment before an assassination, he was fully alert, his senses in high gear. While he had murdered many times before, he had never done so on a large scale. It was a test of cunning, he liked to think, that made his blood run fast. It gave him a sensation of invincibility, inflated by the knowledge that he had always come out on top. "Bring us to within 8 kilometers of the narwhal," he finally directed the captain, "and do so nice and easy." The captain engaged the helm and brought the ship and attached barge around on a southerly heading. Aided by the swift-moving current, the icebreaker ran just above idle, covering the distance in less than an hour. Reaching the new position, the captain swung his bow around to the current in order to remain stationary.
8 kilometers and holding, he reported to Zack.
Zack eyed the gloomy darkness outside the bridge window and creased his lips in satisfaction.
"Prepare to release the barge at my command," he said.
The captain stared at him as if he were insane.
"What are you saying?" he asked.
"You heard me. We are going to release the barge."
"That's a $10 million vessel. In this fog and current, there's no way we'll be able to tie back up to her. She'll rip her hull open on some ice or run aground on the islands. Either way, Mr. Goyette will have my head."
Zack shook his head with a thin smile.
"She won't be traveling very far. As for Goyette, please recall the signed letter I gave you in Kugluktuk, giving me complete authority while I'm aboard this ship. Believe me, he will consider it a small price to pay to eliminate a problem that could cost him hundreds of millions of dollars. Besides," he added with a conniving grin, "isn't that what marine insurance is for?" The captain reluctantly ordered his deckhands to the stern of the ship to man the tow lines. The men waited in the cold while Zack ran down to his cabin, then returned to the bridge carrying his leather satchel. At Zack's command, the captain reversed power and backed down on the barge until the thick tow lines fell slack in the water. The deckhands released a lock plate, then heaved the looped ends of the tow lines up and off the stern bollards. The men watched morbidly as the lines slid down the stern and disappeared into the black water below. When the bridge received an all-clear signal, the captain pulled the ship forward, then came around the barge's starboard flank at Zack's urging. The dark mass of the barge could barely be seen a few yards away as the fog continued to thicken. Zack reached into his satchel and pulled out a high-frequency radio transmitter, then stepped out onto the bridge wing. Extending a small antenna, he powered on the device and immediately pushed a red transmit button. The radio signal only had to travel a short distance to trigger the detonator cap planted on the stern of the barge. Less than a second later, the dynamite charge ignited. The explosion was neither loud nor visually impressive, just a resounding pop that reverberated within the barge, followed by a light puff of smoke that rose from the rear deck. Zack observed the scene for just a few seconds, then returned to the warmth of the bridge, replacing the transmitter into his bag. "I don't like having the blood of those men on my hands," the captain grumbled.
"But you have it all wrong, Captain. The loss of the barge was quite accidental." The captain simply stared at Zack with a look of dismay.
"It's very simple," Zack continued. "You shall write in your log and report to the authorities back in port that the American research ship inadvertently collided with our barge in the fog and both vessels sank. We, of course, were most fortunate to release the tow lines in the nick of time and suffered no casualties. Regrettably, we were unable to find any survivors in the water from the Numa ship."
"But the Numa ship has not sunk," the captain protested.
That, Zack replied with a snarl, is about to change.